Welcome to Reality Check. I'm Spiria Theron. Reality Check is your weekly dose of health, lifestyle, gossip, entertainment, and some of the hottest topics to keep you thinking. Kicking off the new year with a bang on this week's show. Tourette's syndrome, a disorder most suffer from in silence. Dr. Duncan McKinley joins me to discuss the facts and myths associated with it and how he's trying to take his affliction to the masses. It's almost that time of year when most high school students start preparing for post-secondary entrance requirements. We'll give you some tips on how to make your application stand out above the rest. And actor, model, and singer Sam Sarpong sits down with me and shares his thoughts on the ever-changing entertainment industry. Plus, the first Top 20 Countdown of 2003 with Wayne Williams. Stay with us.
You're tuned in to Reality Check on Flow 93.5. Toronto's Urban FM.
Imagine a life of suffering in silence, enduring the pain and rejection from your peers and even your family because you suffer from a disorder you don't even understand. Our topic of discussion today, Tourette's syndrome, a neurological disorder which is characterized by involuntary tics, sudden movements, and verbal outbursts. We're joined in studio today by Dr. Duncan McKinley, who not only suffers from TS, but is also committed to improving the quality of life for people with Tourette syndrome and other disorders. Welcome, Dr. McKinley.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. Now, if we can just get started, what is Tourette syndrome or TS?
Sure. The dry, boring definition is the Tourette syndrome involves at least one type of involuntary noise and a couple of types of involuntary movements, and that needs to occur for at least a period of a year, and it causes significant distress and impairment in life, yada yada yada. Mm-hmm. A better definition, really, from an experiential point of view, is just that it's life magnified. I mean, it's like wearing all of your thoughts, your emotions, your behaviors, your impulses, everything on your sleeve.
Right.
And so, whereas most people are fairly well inhibited, they've got good breaks over what they're thinking or feel like doing in a particular moment, people with Tourette's, those breaks are a little bit more leaky.
Right.
And so things tend to come out and bubble to the surface and be a little bit more amplified than you would be if you didn't have this disorder.
Mm-hmm. Now, you could, that which means you could have a happy sort of reaction or an aggressive sort of reaction. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that the technical definition of Tourette's tends to focus on the negative, where it's, okay, you're going to have involuntary movements called tics and twitches and different noises. You're going to get stuck on certain thoughts. I mean, all sorts of nasty stuff. But when you think of it more of as just an amplification of self, where everything's a little bit bigger, you're right. It can be happy stuff. It can be positive stuff as well as negative stuff. And mm-hmm. The more people who experience the disorder recognize that, the less they're going to see it as a sentence and something being endured. And a little bit more just a quality of themselves. So it's, you can lament the negative or you can celebrate and focus on the positive.
Great.
Yeah.
Now, what are some of the other behaviors associated with TS?
Well, in terms of tics, they tend to be fairly upper body. And you see a lot of eye blinking, a lot of grimacing, mouth opening and closing, head jerking. In terms of noises, you might hear snorts, a snort or a whistle, a ha is one of mine, sniffing in and out. People get fairly adept at hiding their tics or at least trying to fit them into environmentally acceptable things so that if they've got a sniff, they pretend they have a cold and they're blowing their nose a lot, this sort of thing.
Okay.
So you may not always recognize that a person's having tics when they had them because they didn't fall off the apple cart yesterday. They know they're probably not going to get too many dances at this Friday's prom if they're walking around going, ha, all the time. So they fake it a bit. There's a number of disorders associated with Tourette's syndrome, too, that are similar. Whereas Tourette's, your breaks over your movements and your noises are leaky. Often people with Tourette's also have something called attention deficit hyperactivity disorder,
mm-hmm.
and that means you have leaky breaks over your attention or over your impulses in a situation. You might have obsessive compulsive disorder, so it's leaky breaks over your thoughts. So those are other sorts of symptoms that aren't Tourette's specifically, but you often see them in Tourette's.
Right.
Huh.
Now, what causes the symptoms?
It's neurological. Doctors are still doing a lot of research trying to figure out exactly what's going on. I did some research for my PhD on a neuropsychological model of what exactly is happening in the brain when tics are formed. What it seems to be is that we learn extra things that we shouldn't. So if you walk through a doorway and blink at the same time, it was spontaneous. It was just coincidence that you happen to blink when you walk through the doorway. So your brain doesn't bother to remember that because there's nothing inherent to walking through a door that has anything to do with blinking your eyes. Mm-hmm. My brain remembers it. A little bit too much of an eager beaver, I guess. It wants to learn everything. And so every time I walk through a door, then I'm going to blink. And maybe when I sit down in front of this microphone, I blink. Well, now I've got that memorized, too. So anytime I sit in front of a microphone, I'm going to blink. You keep learning all these extra silly things. Eventually, you're blinking all the time, and it becomes a tic. You have enough tics, and they call it Tourette syndrome.
Okay. All right. Well, can Tourette syndrome be inherited at all?
It is. Again, ongoing research. People aren't exactly sure what's happening, but if you think of the genome, the human genome, as the globe, they've pretty much got it narrowed down to the right continent, but they're still doing work to figure out what country it's in, what province, what city, what street, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
In general, the theory that fits the available facts the best is that it's what they call a semi-dominant, semi-recessive trait, well, blah, blah, blah. What that means is that mom carries a gene, she may or may not show it. Dad carries a gene, he may or may not show it. If both of those parents pass the gene on to the child, you've got Tourette's.
Okay.
Ha.
Well, now, it's important to know that you do. I haven't mentioned this yet, and you haven't mentioned it either, but you do suffer from TS.
I think of it as experiencing Tourette's.
Okay, that's a better way to put it. You're experiencing TS. Now, there are different classifications for the tics. Can you explain them?
Sure. You can think of tics in terms of, well, I've been mentioning motor tics versus phonic tics.
Right.
Now, a lot of people think of vocal tics, and vocal tics are tics where you're making noise using your vocal cords. But for diagnosis, you don't actually have to have a vocal tic. You have to have what's called a phonic tic. And that just means making a noise.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I mentioned before, sniffing in and out, you're not really using your vocal cords. You're not saying a word, but it would still get you diagnosed. So you can talk about noisy tics or non-noisy tics.
Right.
You can also talk about simple or complex tics. A lot of the tics I've been showing you so far and that I'm making as we speak are simple tics. And so whether it's a noise or a movement, it's a quick, purposeless, single phoneme or single muscle group type of tic. The more complex tics are ones that can be misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, echolalia is when you imitate back what someone else has said. And, of course, that you can look like you're just being a little brat in the schoolyard, and that's one that can get you beat up pretty quick. Coprolalia is the media-friendly tic. That's the one that everyone likes to talk about. It's the swearing tic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that common in Tourette's, particularly not in mild cases or in children, but it's still up there. And in terms of complex motor tics, you could have a whole number of different simple movements like shaking your head or cracking your neck or hopping on one foot. You could have a whole number of these sort of combined together into a big tic collage that, again, if a person didn't know what was going on, they might think the person's having a seizure when they have this little, explosion of tic movements.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know a lot of people associate swearing with Tourette syndrome, and you said it's not. It's coprolalia?
Coprolalia.
That's it. I'm sorry. But for someone who's, for example, a child who is not in an environment where there's a lot of swearing going on, how do they pick that up?
Well, that's a very astute question, actually, because it's one of the interesting things about Tourette's. It's not just a neurological disorder. It's not just a psychological disorder. It's not just a sociological disorder. It's sort of, you have components of all of it together.
Mm-hmm.
And your question sort of introduces that idea. Yes, the neurology is there that you could get stuck on swear words. I mean, your brain's sort of predisposed to get caught in these ruts and have leaky brakes and all that sort of thing. But if, tongue-in-cheek, if you grew up in a monastery and, mm-hmm. and didn't have cable television or an older brother or sister and had never heard swear words before in your life, you don't have the software. You don't have the environmental aspects to input into that hardware, into the neurology, so you couldn't possibly have coprolalia.
Okay.
In a way, Tourette's syndrome, the tics and different movements and noises you have are sort of a warped motor and vocal history of your past. Just as the old phrase "God be with you" eventually got condensed down into the customary goodbye that everyone says now, having a certain job, having certain interactions with certain people on a regular basis may sort of get compacted and evolved into these ticks. So when I was hoeing beans one summer for my summer job at the end of the summer, I had a lot of arm thrusting ticks in sort of a hoeing motion. So it's a combination. Then the short answer is between the experiences that you have and the neurology that you have.
Right.
Where the ticks come from.